Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. My text verse this morning is verse number 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. And the name of the sermon is Beauty for Ashes. When Jesus went into the synagogue and read this passage, he read verses 1 through 2. And he stopped right there at the end, at the start of verse 2, he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and then he stopped. You say, how come he didn't read any further? Because the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn, that would be at his second coming. Isn't that interesting? A comma in your Bible can represent 2,000 years between when he came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and his second coming. So why did he quote just to the start of verse 2 and then stop? And that's because he came to die for us first. Jesus came for one reason. I love 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Mark chapter 2 verse 16 says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When Jesus came to give us salvation, though, he made so much more available to us as his children. This morning, Jesus said in the one sentence in verse 3, I would like you to notice, though, chapter 61, verses 1 through 3 are one sentence. They are one sentence. That kind of helps you a little bit there. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And we can see how Jesus was sent. And then in verse number 3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Jesus is specifically addressing here. He says, there's something I want those that are sad-hearted to know. To those that are mourning and to those that are heavy-hearted, he said, I want you to know what I have for you. Aren't you glad he didn't come into the world to lift those that are already high? He didn't come to give power to the strong. He didn't come to clothe those who are satisfied with their own righteousness. When you look at all that he came to give, this is a great comfort to those of us that are worn by life's hustle and bustle. And it's so sweet just to think, if you just think of this morning, if you're tired and wore out, if your heart is breaking this morning, isn't it wonderful to know Jesus came for you?
Amen.
Isn't that sweet? When your countenance is fallen and your eyes are filled with tears, he came for you. Psalm 103 says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Our God is so thoughtful of us, his poor servants. God is dealing with those that are sad and mourning. And he looks to make an exchange, which is just amazing. He says, "What God is the only one that can give beauty for ashes. He's the only one that can give the oil of joy for mourning. He's the only one that can give the garment of praise for heaviness." Most people choose their companions based on who can entertain them the best, but Jesus teaches us by his example to look for people that we can help. We wouldn't think of making those exchanges, but God does. You should think of these, I want you to think of these as a gift, because think about what he's trading us for. Our ashes, our mourning, and our spirit of heaviness, think about it. What he's trading us for has no value. I don't know if somebody that wants somebody else's hurt and pain and heartache, or their ashes, or their heaviness, their spirit of heaviness. The Lord took our ashes upon himself and allowed his beauty to be marred. As the man of sorrows, he took on mourning in his humiliation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he took our spirit of heaviness as he fell on his face and prayed. And then he said he was sorrowful unto death. The Lord should have all the praise, because the blessings of his love are all of free grace. No one with a broken heart this morning would hesitate to deal with Jesus on these special terms. Think about it. If your spirit of heaviness, if you have mourning, if you have ashes this morning, he says, I'll trade you and I'll give you beauty for those ashes. And he's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can give you the oil of joy for your mourning. He says, I'll trade you But he's the only one that can do it. You see, this morning, the person who's weeping in the nightmare of spiritual heaviness realizes that the joy and the garments of praise can be exchanged for their burden. You see, sometimes God's children, as God's children, were covered in ashes. In the Bible, ashes are a picture of humility and mourning and grief. When they poured ashes upon their head, they were trying to make their outward appearance describe their inward misery. They took off their soft garments and they put on sackcloth or burlap, and it's a sticky, itchy cloth. Then they tore the sackcloth into rags and they put the ashes on their heads instead of perfumed oil. And then when someone began a fast, they sometimes sat in ashes. Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." We're speaking of invisible ashes this morning, obviously, when Jesus said, "I'll give you beauty for ashes." You see, life is a veil of tears. As God's children, we struggle and we press and fight against our own sinful nature so we can be conformed to the image of Christ. We try to grow in grace and we grow in the Lord, but our shortcomings, our failures, our sins cause us grief and mourning. Because no child of God is sinless until we get to heaven. As we love Jesus, our sin continues to break our hearts until we get to heaven. And that's just part of the Christian life. I didn't say sin was. I said the brokenheartedness of our sin because of our sinfulness. Thank the Lord for His forgiveness this morning. 1 John chapter 1 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Psalm 32, 5 and 6 says, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Selah. Listen. "For this, for forgiveness, shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." I love that verse. Because there is no cleaner feeling of knowing when you get off your knees after you said, "God, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I've sinned. I'm sorry," and there's no cleaner feeling. "And for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee." Every Christian ought to enjoy the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God. That's Psalm 32, 5 and 6. What child of God has not gone astray? Sometimes in strong temptations, our new nature mourns as we confess our sins and admit that our faults have overtaken us. 1 John 2, 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." If we sin, we have an advocate, somebody who runs by our side, someone when we fall will help us and pick us up. Who is that? Jesus Christ the righteous, the Holy Spirit. In other words, our falls don't have to discourage us to where we quit running. We can actually keep on going. Aren't you glad that when your sin defiles your garments, the Holy Ghost leads you to run to Jesus to be washed in His blood? You see, our sins have broken our heart. That's the first set of ashes that I'll describe to you this morning. The sins of others have also broken our heart. When a parent watches their children go astray, their heart cry is like David. Remember when Absalom got slain? And he had rebelled against his father. And then King David asks Cushi the question, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushi answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." In other words, he said, "Your son's dead." And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." There have been many family members who've had broken hearts, who've broken the hearts of their family. A wife can sit in the ashes of mourning half of her life because her ungodly husband who makes her life bitter. A husband can sit in the ashes of mourning half of his life because of his ungodly wife who makes his life bitter. Many loving sisters have wept for their brother who insists on ruining his life. As we watch our society break down because of the homosexuality, the transgenderism, and the racism, the crimes of this world become the burden of the saints. We can't convict of sin. We can't change anybody's life or control what the world does, but what absolutely amazes us is how insensitive they are to the filth. What makes us know this world is not our home, is how we are the only ones who are disturbed by what's going on. It's not normal, this transgender, anything that's dealing, they're having teenagers now testify, going through sex change operations. What in the world? That is pedophilia. That's filth. All the transgender stuff is pedophilia. And they wondered, they said, is America going to get to the point where we legalize pedophilia? They just did this week in California. 12 and 13-year-olds are selling their bodies, and when the police approach them, they can no longer testify. They just legalized pedophilia in America. Unbelievable. Are we the only ones that are disturbed at this? Are we the only ones going, dear God, what's happening? But the world, they're going, yeah, we're progressing. All the progressives are stinking nasty liberals, communists. It's filthy. We're watching our society break down. We're watching our society destroy itself. And as a Christian, when we see that, it ought to bother us. But everybody's, it's just amazing how, oh no, this is normal. What they're teaching, they're teaching the kids sex education at 6 years old.
Well, we just don't know. Wonder how come the sex and the adultery and fornication's on the rise because abortions are on the...
Yeah, you're teaching them the filth at 6 years old, for crying out loud. Amen. Feel sorry for that. Public schools are now becoming dens of darkness. It's natural for us to weep over other people's willful suicide as they perish before our eyes. We deal with people who reject everlasting life and choose everlasting destruction because they reject the Lord. We're living in such materialistic times. Christianity in America is being replaced by humanism, the worship and deification of self. Christianity is being replaced by hedonism, which is living for pleasure. Pleasure is the end in itself. And it's disgusting. For the things that call themselves Christians, our fundamental Bible beliefs are being denied as churches exchange Bible correctness for political correctness. Our materialistic, visually stimulated, vision-casting marketing is totally void of the Spirit of God. Luke 16:15, Jesus said, He said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Listen closely, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God doesn't follow fads. God doesn't care what's in or out. God only cares what does my word say. What is in my word? In America, there's 183 abortions a minute. Excuse me, every hour. There are 3 abortions every minute. Out of those 3 abortions, one of them is from a teenage pregnancy. Every minute. What does God see when He looks at our nation? Could we with Mordecai rend our clothes, put sackcloth on ashes, and then cry with a loud and bitter cry? Could we with Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned. What Christians go to God in prayer and say, Dear God, the sin of our nation. What Christians, it ought to bother every Christian. Then you say, what's the end result? You go to God in prayer and you say, Dear God, please, I'm sorry. We have sinned. We as a nation have sinned. What a prayer. What a prayer. I don't think that's extreme Christianity. I think that's basic Christianity. I know we can't share our heartbreaks with the lost. And we would be very unwise, and we would be wise to never share them with the ungodly. A spiritual person tries to conceal their distress because Jesus told us to. Matthew 6 says, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So there are, we're not supposed to, this world is supposed to grieve us, but we're not supposed to walk around, I believe, with a sad face all the time. Then there's a few times I also read in the Bible in Jeremiah 6 where public weeping is exalted and lifted up. Jeremiah 6:26. We won't read that this morning. I just don't think you need to smile when your coworker cusses. Your countenance should fall when they talk about things that they shouldn't talk about. They should see. I didn't say you have to stand up on the table and start preaching, but they should see a countenance change. When you hear the name Jesus used as a cuss word, your Savior, the one that died for you, it ought to grieve your heart. It ought to, please don't talk about my Savior that way. God's last name is not damn. Amen.
Amen.
Never has been. You see, so what I'd like you to know this morning is when it comes to the world, we have joys that they cannot share and we have sorrows that they cannot comprehend. They know nothing about. So don't condemn someone who allows their broken heart for sin to be seen. When someone walks with the Lord, sin is supposed to be disturbing and frustrating. Sin breaks God's heart, and we shouldn't be so numb that it doesn't break ours. Every person I've ever known who grows in the Lord thinks of themselves less and less as they grow in the Lord. The longer you're saved, the more amazed you are that the Lord should ever have loved you at all. Right? In our flesh dwells no good thing. Most Christians don't have a scriptural view of themselves, and they think much more of themselves than God says to. If God had not made salvation possible and just destroyed mankind when they fell in the Garden of Eden, God would still have been great, God still would have been glorious, and God still would have been pure and holy. God only spares us and makes salvation possible because He is infinite in mercy. That's why He makes salvation possible. But He could have destroyed us all and started over again, but He didn't. He met us on our sinful condition. This morning, Isaiah 61, verse 3, "To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes." What ashes? The ashes that we feel for our sin. The ashes of mourning that we feel as we see the sins of the world and see them destroying themselves and our society breaking down. What else causes ashes? Our mourning causes our appearance to be marred. We're not attractive in ashes, mourning and tears. Our ashes show that we have no hope. When we have no hope, that's ashes. Our ashes show that the fire has went out, right? There used to be a fire there, now the fire's gone and there's ashes. The ashes say these ashes have no fire like ourselves. Our fire of hope has gone out, our joy, our confidence, and our strength is gone. I don't wish any Christian to ever taste of this type of depression, but if you do, know others have been there before you and they've had to cry out to God also. Sometimes all of our strength is gone. And the only strength we have is just enough strength to pray. Our ashes show a dead and dry condition. And God says, "I'll give you beauty for your ashes if you'll trade me." Our ashes sometimes are left from the furnace of affliction when we have trials. When you're in the furnace, you cry out for patience and long suffering. God says, "For our ashes, He came to give us beauty." Our ashes and our mourning and our brokenheartedness, God says, "For our grieving, the Lord breaks into our heartache and pain." And He says, "He is the source of our beauty. He's the only one willing and able to make the trade." So when you're in trouble, can I just ask you this morning, if your heart is hurting, where do you turn? There's only one that can fix it. There's only one that can comfort, and that's the Lord. You see, a Christian should never run to the world. The wrong crowd, drugs, alcohol, fornication, filthy rock, filthy rap, filthy country music, gluttony, or anything but the Lord. Hypocrites run to liquor. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Folks, how can God give you beauty for ashes if you don't turn to Him when your heart is breaking? He can't. But if you'll come to Him, He says, I can give you beauty for your ashes when you're in severe testing and trials. I like it when you read our text, the Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me, verse 1, because the Lord hath anointed me. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. So listen closely. You get relief in coming to Jesus. You see, our hope lies in the mission of Christ. Our hope is in the person of Jesus. Our hope lies in the work of Jesus. Our hope lies in the application of the blood of Christ to our hearts. No matter what serpent bites us, we look to the brazen serpent that was lifted up from the earth. That's the Lord Jesus. He is the antidote that never fails. And it's amazing how the gospel and coming to Christ at the foot of the cross is the answer, not just for salvation for our life. Watch this closely. When you get saved, and that only happens once, praise God. I'm so glad you can't lose a once saved, always saved, if saved, amen. Okay? But what do you got to do to get saved? You have to see yourself that everybody's a sinner. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. Jesus died for you and rose again. And if you place your faith in Him, then He saves you and makes you His child. But wait a second. That same formula, praise God, when the trial hits, I don't go to get saved again, but I can go to the foot of the cross and do what? Realize I'm a sinner and I don't have the answer. Realize that I deserve hell and really things could be worse. Amen? That's been a comfort for Christians throughout the ages. No matter what I'm going through, I deserve hell. And when it gets hard and when the suffering gets hard, I can remember God saved me by His grace. And I don't deserve. You say, this is hard what we're going through. This is hard what I'm dealing with. But I deserve a lot worse. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I deserve hell. And I really realize that Jesus died for me. Romans 8:32 is such a neat verse. It says, if Jesus died for us, then how will He not also with His Son give us freely all things? If you realize and know Jesus died for you, then my goodness, I can also take my burdens to Him. I can also take my cares to Him. So I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I'm on my way to that I deserve hell. And I realize if Jesus died for me, what am I going through that He won't help me with? He can help me. He does care about me. He does know about me. He rose again from the dead for me, and He'll help me with this. And then if I'll place my faith in Him, He'll help me with what I'm going through. Over here, I realize I'm a sinner. I deserve hell, and Jesus died for me. And if I put my faith in Him, I become His child. Over here, I realize, same thing. The gospel is the answer for everything. Not for getting saved over and over again, but running back to the cross. Running back to the cross. And when I ran to the cross the first time, He gave me grace and saved me as His child. And when I go through the trials and heartaches of life, I run back to the cross. And I get that same grace because I am His child. No, the gospel is the answer for everything. You're just making it too simple. No. It's wonderful how the same recipe works all of our life here on this earth. I run to the cross. To run to anything else but the Lord and His Word is a dishonor to God, and it is totally needless. God's Word is so complete, praise the Lord, and fresh. Everything else is useless. I don't need dreams. I don't need superstitions. I don't need visions. I have God's Word. God can speak to you out of His Word if you'll read it. It does no good in a closed form on the coffee table or on the shelf or in the back seat of the car until next Sunday. It will help you. Let God speak to your heart as you open it up. And that's your Heavenly Father talking to you. Let Him speak to you. The Lord Jesus comes to bless broken hearts this morning. Praise God, He came 2,000 years ago to do so. He comes to bless broken hearts in no other way than by preaching to them the glad tidings of His grace. You see, can you take your Bible and go to the last chapter of your Bible in Revelation? Watch this. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. It's the last chapter in your Bible. If you struggle finding it, don't let anybody know. That was a joke, okay? I can't find it. I can't. Shh, shh, shh. Just look like you know where it's at, okay? Revelation 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. I have no problem. I believe that if you don't have a King James Bible, you have a tampered with Bible. And I believe God's curse is on the Bible publishers of the NIV, the RSV, ASV, MICKEYMOUSE. Amen. And the HIV, that's right. Don't read the NIV, it'll get you HIV. Okay, never mind. That's okay, we went too far. I understand that. But now let me apply that verse to you. God says there is a curse on a Christian's life when they look for something to talk to them that's not in that book. I'm never supposed to look for anything outside of the Bible to speak to my heart. I'll say it again. I don't need dreams. I don't need visions. I don't need premonitions. I don't need any of that garbage. All I need is the Bible. All you need, child of God, is the Bible. And there, I believe this with all my heart. Do not search for God to speak to you through any way other than God's Word. And praise God if you have a King James Bible. If you have a King James Bible. Okay? If Jesus Christ trades your ashes for beauty, your mourning will turn into mourning, into mourning. Your sighing can be turned into singing. Your sadness can be turned into gladness, and your tears turned into triumph. Jesus said in Isaiah chapter 61, I came to give the mourning beauty for ashes. And when Jesus does so, it is through the preaching and the reading of the Word of God. Joseph went from the prison to the palace. Mordecai went from sitting at the gate and crying aloud to riding on the king's horse being proclaimed, this is the king's friend, by the one that wanted him dead. I love that story. What a wonderful story it is. David went from the caves of En-Gedi to the palace in Jerusalem. Job went from the dunghill scraping his sores, listen, to double wealth. Double wealth. He just had to wait on God's timing. God does give beauty for your ashes. The beauty and relief of being forgiven. You found out that you're a child of God, adopted and eternally secure. Behold, 1 John 3:1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. What a blessing that I'm actually one of His children because I placed my faith in Him. You see, when the Lord gives you beauty, you become a source of joy to others. And when the Lord gives you beauty, you're a delight to Him also. Can we just finish by reading Isaiah 61, 1 through 3? Watch this. Go back in your Bible to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. This is Jesus telling us, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, He hath sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And then look at the end result. Look at the last part of verse 3. That He might be glorified. He's the only one that can make the trade. And I know that there are some brokenhearted people this morning, but can I just tell you, your God says, I have beauty for your ashes, and I'm the only one that can change it. You can't run to anything else. But Jesus says, I came to help you. I came to take your broken heart and give you the oil of joy And it's something that only a Christian can have. Only a Christian can have. This morning, if you've never been forgiven of your sin, you're not a child of God. If you've never received Him, let me just encourage you. To be saved, praise the Lord, is so simple. It's by trusting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior because He died for you and was buried and rose again. Let's all pray. Father, please, I wish, Lord, to use this. Lord, I know as You gave me this, I pray that, Lord, it would be a help to these people. Lord, You knew who would be here this morning. You know all about the weather. Nothing catches You by surprise. Now, Father, please, thank You that You came for the brokenhearted, that You came to help those that mourn. And Lord, I just pray that please, Holy Spirit of God, that You would do what only You can do this morning. I just need to ask the question. You say, preacher, I don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to. I wish I had that peace in my heart. Is there anybody here with head bowed and eyes closed? We're not here to embarrass you, but is there anybody here? You say, preacher, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. Is there anybody like that? Then Christian, this morning, is your heart heavy? Are you mourning? Is your heart breaking? Jesus says, I have a trade for you. I'll give you My beauty for your ashes. My beauty for your ashes. What a wonderful God we have. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play.